And this is FlameFlash.net podcast episode 13. The unlucky number, or so they say. I don't think that will be us, however. Going to get right started. Don't actually have a lot of content this time around. Most of the news that I would normally touch on, well, it's probably been beaten into you already if you pay attention to the news at all. So maybe we'll give it a light brush stroke, but we'll move on with a focus on gaming first, as usual, in the last week. World of Warcraft is actually going to start things off this time, mostly because there's not really much new to report. Continuing progress in both the Firelands dailies and working on trying to get the daily achievements of fishing and cooking for the other two major cities on a few of my flying characters. Daughter and I did have the opportunity to play together, however, on Saturday, which she greatly appreciated. Can't recall what we did too much in depth, though I think it was just some general questing through Hellfire Peninsula, because we are leveled enough to be in Burning Crusade content now. My paladin and her death knight are quite the interesting pair, both plate wearers. She has learned how to do the death knight death grip, and now enjoys grabbing enemies away from her paladin tank of a father, so that I have to then run and get them again. The evil giggles were both enjoyable, and if we had been in a instance or something, would have been frustrating, but fortunately we were out questing. Next up would be The Sims 3. Enjoyed this one a little bit more, tried to explore the newer generation's content a little bit further, going out with a different Sims game family, and definitely am still appreciating this. I honestly don't know how much more busy you can get in the game with just adding pets next time around. There are plenty of things to do in this game now, especially if you have a god complex, and it's a highly satisfying experience. I do have a Dr. Pepper code that I still need to redeem. I'll probably get around to doing that tonight, hopefully. But it's satisfying. It's a great game when you need to get up and pause suddenly to do so. You just hit that zero on your number pad, if you have a number pad, and go, and take care of it. Very easy to leave and return to in a moment's notice. So my raptor profile is probably a little bit off-kilter as far as my gaming time actually in-game goes, because a lot of times I was actually AFK, away from keyboard. Saturday, we also hit Face Raiders. Now, you're probably not familiar with this one because the 3DS hasn't really taken off in popularity yet. But Walmart broke their price drop wall. The 3DS is scheduled, the Nintendo 3DS, if you're not familiar, is the latest generation of Nintendo's handheld. Nintendo, starting with the Game Boy, moving on to the Color, etc., has just recently tried replacing their DS line with the 3DS. It adds a 3D element that is impressive, is real. You can tell it's 3D. Enough so that you're tempted to reach out around your device, if you're using the AR games and cards, and literally touch your items. Of course you can't, but there's that temptation because the 3D effect is that strong. Cartoony graphics at times, at least for the AR games, so it's definitely obvious that it's not manipulating your table, but it's still a satisfying experience. I actually have updated my Ustream profile now to have my 3DS Mi as my avatar. It seems fitting. Red Flare did a good job of helping me make it look a little bit more realistic compared to what I had originally had it. I think she did a good job. But Face Raiders, you take a picture of yourself or a family member. You map it just right, so you line up the eyes and the mouth to the little eye dots and mouth line. If you've ever gone to JibJab.com and played with their customizable cards where you can have a dancing head or a dancing picture of yourself on some elf body or bodybuilder or whatever else they happen to have available at the time, that's what you're doing. You're mapping the picture so that the game knows how to manipulate it and lets you then, through the course of the game, see as it makes the character's tongue stick out in mocking, or their eyes get big from pain from being hit, etc. So you're being attacked by flying heads and need to fend them off. That's basically Face Raiders. It's oddly satisfying, mostly because it's like an arcade shooter, and so you're sitting there moving the 3DS around and shooting with the A button. You don't use the control stick or anything. You are camera dependent. Its gyroscopes can sense where you're pointing and where you're looking, which is pretty immersive. Sunday we ventured into Super Mario Kart for the Wii. We lost our Wii game saves a while back when the Wii, well, died and we had to send it in. I guess the motherboard went bad, and for some reason Nintendo didn't have the foresight to put the flash memory of the Wii not integrated in with the motherboard. So when the motherboard goes bad on your Wii, you also lose all of your game saves. Anyway, it was a Mario Kart experience. Always satisfying, fun, especially when you get four people involved and race around the track. Unfortunately, even though you are doing basically a Grand Prix mode, you can't unlock anything unless you're playing one player. A horrid, absolutely horrid negative to the game. Hasn't hurt it in sales, I don't think. It's extremely popular. Nintendo is now bundling the Mario Kart Wii with new Wii systems. And I'm now welcoming my second guest that joined the chat room. Hello. Welcome aboard. Feel free to throw out questions. That's the bonus of being in the Ustream guest room. But Mario Kart, always satisfying. I'm greatly looking forward to the 3DS version. Already have it on pre-order, even though it doesn't have an official release date yet. Oh well. Brink. Yes, I actually played a first-person shooter. Steam was allowing us to play Brink for free in honor of QuakeCon. Quake is a very old-school first-person shooter, and Brink, I guess, is made by the same folks. I haven't watched the shooter publishers very much because I normally don't play them, but Brink was a pretty satisfying experience for me. Oddly, IGN gave it a 6 for their rating scale. You know, okay. Probably not the best, but okay. And after reading the review, I certainly kind of agree with them. There's a bit of repetition. You do end up having to run back and change your class to actually complete the game. But it was some good mindless fun, which was satisfying. It didn't seem as high pressure either as I've heard rumors of regarding the other first-person shooters out there, because if you're killed off, well, you have AI team members who are also fighting to win the fight and complete the objectives. So while it's good to be an active participant, and I could definitely feel when I was doing the right thing, it became easier for my AI counterparts to also do the right thing. I was usually a healer. It was also good to see that the AI kind of depended on your natural intelligence. But it could also hold its own, because there were a couple of maps that I just got lost in. I'd finally find somebody who had managed to kill me, and then get to respawn with the rest of the team again. You do need to try to stay with your squad and Brink. What attracted me to Brink and to try the free demo of the full game was the fact that the premise is neat. Think Waterworld, and that floating city that you witness near the beginning, and extend that out. So that is your playground. That is where everybody is. You can play either the security team or a group of rebels trying to leave the floating city and explore the rest of the world and see what's out there and what's left. A very enjoyable concept, just like the concept regarding Homefront, which I haven't really tried because, well, just not interested in having an M-rated game on my consoles, and since it's M-rated, like recent R movies to date, it's just going to hold too much gore for me. I think I may have insulated myself a little bit too much with PG-13 and below, but I just don't enjoy R or M games that much when it's just pointless, gratuitous violence. Hence why I usually don't play first-person shooters. But Brink was, while there was a little bit of blood splattering when you were hit, for instance, it wasn't super graphic, rated T. We also ventured into a Super Smash Bros. Brawl on the Wii. The Wii actually got a lot of use this last weekend. I was surprised. It's been a while since we've used the Wii. But it was also satisfying. And with Smash Bros., I actually played with the youngest. He would choose the course. He was always Mario. And he really seemed to get it. I tried to be kind and just go after the AI. Every once in a while he'd get in the way and then go flying off, because I would be wielding the baseball bat, for instance. Very overpowered item if you happen to be familiar with the game. But Super Smash Bros. Brawl, like the other Brawl or Smash Bros. Games before it, you take a bunch of Nintendo characters, you pit them in a fighting style game, and the cartoon fun ensues. We received a question, actually, regarding Magic the Gathering. So I went off of my kick of playing the original Magic the Gathering game and went to Magic 2012. No, it does not look like you can edit the decks, specialize edit the decks. You can remove cards, add cards, but only those cards that have been unlocked specifically for the deck. I assume and applaud this because it's good for balancing issues if you're playing online. It's kind of hard to balance if you're able to fill your deck with whatever you want. Very hard to balance, actually. You'd end up with a bunch of people just power gaming the system. We'd end up with a few key decks set up on the various forums and strategies, and the online play would just not be satisfying. Not that I've been online with this game, but Magic 2012 and Magic the Gathering Duels of the Planeswalkers, their bonus is that it's the true Magic the Gathering luck and skill. If you're lucky and skillful, you're going to wipe the floor with your opponent. If you're only skillful, you better hope your opponent was unlucky and you both had bad opening card draws. If you were just lucky, you still have a chance to win. And through play and practice, you'll get skillful. And thank you to you two, Chords 3, for that question. Red Flare knows exactly who that is, so we'll just leave it at that. Before we move on to a little bit of news highlighting, the NBA Jam winner has not claimed their prize. So I will figure out what else I'm going to do with this disc. It's really a shame. But I held it open a week longer than I intended, and that's that. Hopefully got a couple more Twitter followers, which is nice, but really wanted to give somebody a fun game. Oh well. News highlights, though. Did just read a recent, just tonight, something that's a bit fun is the fact that this fellow is camping in London in front of an Apple store as the first person in line for the unannounced release date, even, iPhone 5. Yes, it's a very good logical assumption that the iPhone 5 is in development. But this guy is probably a few months too late. Or too early, I mean. So, it definitely seems to be a PR stunt as well. He's an employee of an app program maker. I believe they are the individuals behind the Monster app, the Monster resume site on the App Store. And they advertise and push their services for those interested in having an app, but perhaps not wanting to go out and learn how to do it on their own. Or buy the software development kit. It's been tempting, but I haven't bothered looking into the kit myself because, frankly, I don't have the time to pick up learning that, as well as everything else I'm trying to balance. Can't really fill a podcast of gaming and news when I'm also trying to learn programming. And with as full as the current market is on the App Store, I don't have a strong idea that isn't either patent protected, copyright protected, or in any other way protected, and would put me in hot water somewhere, probably. But other than that, we have the London riots that occurred this last week. I attempted to follow, but the time zone differences and the little time I had, unfortunately, led me to not be able to follow it too closely. From what I've been able to catch, it sounds like quite a few people took advantage of the situation, and others attempted to use it for its true potential, which would be draw attention to all of the problems they're having, all the problems the first world are having right now, with the debt ceilings and downgraded credit ratings and whatnot. And I'm just waiting for France to get their happy memo that they've been downgraded, since if we're only downgraded for political reasons, France is next. What I find ironic is that all of the investors making the huge hubbub on the stock market for the last few days, well, they went and hid in U.S. Treasury bonds. If the S&P was really to be believed, wouldn't they be going somewhere else? It doesn't make any sense to me why they'd be running off to Treasury bonds if they're so scared of the downgrade. Either don't react to the downgrade and cause yourselves to lose so much money, or run and hide in somebody else's treasury bonds, not the United States, since supposedly we're worse than we were. I just didn't understand. The bonus is that gas prices have gone down. Yep. The future market dropped, and so gas prices went down. Annoyingly, every time I've gone out to get gas, about 12 hours later or a workday later in time, they've dropped even more. So I have my friendly little receipt mocking me because it was 360 something this morning, and it was 350 something as I was driving home from work. But as I mentioned at the top of the show, there weren't that many things that haven't already been beaten like a dead horse. And I think I just screwed up another cliche. Good, I didn't. My editor and wife says I didn't. That's a first. But the other news items, well, they've already been beaten. So I'm not going to reiterate or comment on them further because the pundits are out there all over the place talking their heads off already. I'm just another floating head in the void at this point. But if you have questions, gaming or life or news, it's podcast@flameflash.net. You can also send a tweet, flameflash. I'm on Twitter. Flameflash.net also happens to exist out on Facebook as a fan page. So you can hit me up there, too. And thank you for both of you for stopping by. And the others for downloading it in iTunes. This is Flame Flash of Flameflash.net, signing off.